Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Coming up this hour, we're going to hear from Pottawatomie County Schools. We're also going to hear from the Martin Luther King Jr. Committee here in Manhattan about their activities they have coming up beginning on Saturday. I believe there's been a little bit of a shift in how some of that's going to operate, so we'll get an update from Kevin Bryant and some others. But we start off with Pottawatomie County Schools. Just Rock Creek today going to be on the program. Kevin Logan, the superintendent over there. Greg Mann is a little under the weather from Wamego, so it'll be just Kevin this morning. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Hey, Brandon. Thanks for having me this morning.
It's good to talk to you here. Lots going on in the news. We'll get to the COVID information in a moment, but you and I had a phone conversation early in the morning yesterday about St. George not having school Tuesday, and it wasn't COVID-related at that point. It was just because of a water issue.
It was, Brandon. And first of all, I want to say thank you for taking that phone call at six, whatever it was, yesterday morning. Always nice to be able to communicate with our media partners that way. So thank you personally for that. But yesterday morning, about 5 o'clock, I had a call from our maintenance staff down at St. George Elementary that we had a plumbing fixture, a urinal that would not shut off and continued to leak and was getting worse. And it was in our, what we call our green wing down at St. George. And it had flooded many of our classrooms and hallways in that wing, had an inch of water in a lot of places, and trying to get the water shut off was a little bit of an adventure. Those of us who were down there didn't know exactly where the shutoffs were. When the building was built, there were some, the term used, value engineering gone into it, and water shutoffs were where we anticipated them being. So after getting water shut off, we did not have time to get things dried off to safely have kids back in the building yesterday morning. Everything was cleaned up by early to mid-afternoon yesterday. We had fans on it all night last night, and it was ready to go this morning. Shout out to Mr. Ackland, his teachers and staff down there. Many of them came in yesterday afternoon to help move furniture back in place, get the room set up and ready to go again. So a lot of people contributed in what could have been a multi-day fix into just a one-day disruption.
Well, thank goodness for that. And as far as a damage assessment, did you know a dollar amount on that yet, or is that pending?
You know, I don't have a damage assessment yet. We know there's very little physical damage. You know, a repair valve will have to be, or a repair to the valve on the urinal will be taken care of. Not noticing any structural damage or finish damage as far as sheetrock, paint, tile, carpet, things such as that. Those things are all designed and built to withstand, you know, a minor flood, a quick flood type incident like what we had. What will be lost more than anything would be soft products or paper products that were left on the floor. You know, books that might be stacked horizontally next to a bookshelf. I know we lost a few books. We lost a few reams of paper, things such as that. But Mr. Ackland down there is having teachers turn in, you know, what is lost as far as items that we have on our inventory, non-inventoried items, you know, or just things that we're going to have to replace. And then personal items we really can't replace in that manner. And that would be individual books and such. But, you know, the actual dollar outside of the man hours that were spent to clean and dry out things are going to be minimal.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. And that's not a very old building, is it?
It's not. It's in its 14th or 15th year right now.
Okay. I was going to say it didn't look like a very old building, so that's good. We've seen a lot of water issues, not just Rock Creek, but Manhattan High School had one. Oliver Brown Elementary had one recently. So it's just unusual to see that many in January, and so you wonder if there's starting to be a trend developing here, but sounds like that wasn't the case.
No, I think this was just a failed valve, and those things happen.
All right. Well, very good. As far as other things going on, you guys did have a school board meeting this past Monday, and sounds to me like a lot more discussion on COVID-19 and some protocols that are being followed.
We did. We talked quite a little bit about COVID-19, how it's currently impacting our schools. We have been very, very fortunate in our district to keep our case numbers low. But we're in a spot right now where we are really struggling day to day to be able to keep kids in school. When I say that, it's because we have a lot of staff out. We're having a difficult time finding substitutes. I know the State Board of Education, they're meeting and talking today about relaxing substitute qualifications through the end of this school year, moving it down, I believe, to 18-year-old high school graduate being able to come in and be an emergency substitute just through the end of this school year. I have not had time to do the research to tell you if that would help our staffing issues at all. But, you know, we're open to any changes with as far as trying to keep our doors open. We know we're a piece of the gear work that drives the community schools are with educating our kids and also custodial responsibility of the kids during the school day so parents can work. So we're doing our darndest to stay open. But right now, I would say that we're day to day on that. In knowing, and I don't want to sound all doom and gloom, that's just the facts of where we are. Saying that, our board did approve a masking protocol at their meeting Monday night, to where if we hit certain, I hate to call them targets because that sounds positive, but if we reach certain thresholds, we will move into mandatory masking. And where we were at noon on Monday, three of our four buildings will be masking when we come back to school after MLK Day next Monday on Tuesday. We'll look at that that data every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to determine where we're at on those thresholds, and if we meet them, whether or not we'll be masking mandated, masking recommended, or masking just completely optional. And this would be on buses during the school day and then buses on the way home also. This would not necessarily include our activities. We're wanting to make this as manageable as possible, impact as many hours of the day as what we can in a positive manner to keep from spreading the COVID-19 virus. We know masking is not without its imperfections. It's not 100% guarantee, but across schools, Dr. Watson, our Commissioner of Education, shared with us with KDHE data that schools that mask are seeing 10 times fewer cases than those schools that don't mandatory mask. So we'll move in and out of masking as we need to, but we're at a point right now where we need to. I know it's not popular with everybody, but we're down to where we've got to move that direction.
And you said three of the four buildings. What are those three buildings?
Those three buildings would be St. George Elementary School, Rock Creek Middle School, Rock Creek High School. As of noon on Monday, Westmoreland Elementary School was still in the area of masking recommended.
Okay. Well, you know, I've talked to a lot of folks in education the last couple of weeks. My wife works at a school, and, you know, it's interesting because they changed the CDC changed the guidelines here for quarantines and isolations. I think that's thrown a lot of confusion for when people get sick, how long they have to be out. Are you seeing that at your school?
We are seeing that because the CDC guidance that came out, to my understanding, in reading it, in visiting with our Pott County Health Department, the CDC guidance is for general population. It is not specifically called out for K-12 schools. So for K-12 schools, the quarantine and isolation time frame is still a 10-day time frame, and that's for both symptomatic and asymptomatic positive cases, whereas general public has been brought back to a 5-day quarantine and a 5-day isolation if the person who's positive no longer is exhibiting symptoms, and then they've gone to the point, I believe, of recommending then the Binax Now quick test on day six for those positive people. So it is very confusing. We are looking forward to guidance that we hope to have at some point today. The CDC specifies out K-12 schools and hopefully aligns that with the general population.
Yeah, it's such a frustrating thing. And I know your school is not unique. A lot of districts are trying to maintain openness because there's rules in place here from the legislature of how long you, if you were to switch to remote learning, you only have so much time. I think it's 40 hours, isn't it?
You have 40 hours, which is basically 1 week of remote. As we said when we did remote last year, and when we talked about possibly having to move to fully remote, it's not something that you just switch to on a dime. You know, we had always said we would have at least 2 days of prep time if we were having to go to full remote. And that time hasn't shortened. In fact, if anything, because we've been out of the remote practice, with remote being so limited by the legislature, that it might take us a little bit more than 2 days to move from in-person learning to remote learning. And none of us want that. That doesn't help our kids. It doesn't help our families. It doesn't help our teachers. The remote is much more taxing on everybody than what is the in-school, in-person learning model.
Yeah. It's an option, though. I know that's an option that schools have in their back pocket, but I imagine that's it wouldn't be popular, obviously, either with anybody. But does that 40 hours, is that just for the entire school year, or if you can you do it in 40-hour increments? I'm not sure how that is specified.
That 40 hours is cumulative across the entire year.
Okay.
Then you can move beyond that, as I understand, individually with students, if you have a student out for a reason, but then each month your local Board of Education must pass a resolution stating why an individual child exceeded. And I'll be honest with you, the guidance on that that I have seen to this point, I have more questions than answers on.
All right. Well, it's certainly
not to hit that point.
Yeah. Certainly not a not ideal situation. This is probably about as bad as it's been in a while. Would you say that's?
Absolutely. Pot County case numbers were sent out yesterday, and I believe we're 367, 376, something like that, which is one of our highest case counts in the county since it began. Also understanding that the new variant, the Omicron variant, we have a lot more asymptomatic carriers. So we're quite sure that we have many more than that number of 367 that are active cases in the county. And again, I don't want to be a sky is falling person, but you know, we want to keep our doors open. We want to keep our kids in school. We want to keep moving forward with their education, and just asking for everybody's help in doing so.
Yeah, very well. We'll take a time out. We'll talk about some other things going on in the district in a moment. Kevin Logan joins us here from Rock Creek Schools. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.